I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wale from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome onto this edition of Run with Coach Parry. My name is Brad Brown. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on board today. And we get to chat something pretty interesting today, talking about power. And if you have anything to do with the cycling fraternity, you'll know that power has been the rage over the last few years. And it's slowly starting to infiltrate its way into the running community with the advent of running power meters. And as you'll hear on today's podcast, the coach, Lindsay Parry, is a huge fan of running to power. And we catch up with Garth Willis to talk a little bit about his running and how he's using a running meter, a power meter, to improve his running. That's all coming up on today's show as well. And don't forget to stay tuned to the end of this podcast too. We'll announce our next winner in our Biogen Journey competition. All you need to do if you'd like to win yourself 3 months access to the Coach Parry online training community is tell us what Biogen Journey you're on. And yeah, you could be a winner. We'll announce one here on the podcast next week as well. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you'll know that we've been following James Hobbo Hobson's journey to the Ironman 70.3 in Durban next June. And the progress has been going pretty well. He's lost a whole bunch of weights. I think the last time we mentioned he had lost 12 Ks. He's lost a little bit more as well. He's gone through a little bit of a slump because it is that time of the year. Christmas functions, year-end functions, life is just super, super busy, I think, for everyone at the moment. And it's something that Hobbo's been struggling with too. And I got to pick up a little bit of his coaching call with Lindsay this week as well that I'm going to share with you now. Hobbo's been struggling with getting his intensity up on his intervals. And if that's something that you struggle with, here's some great advice as well. So we'll listen to what Hobbo's got to say with Lindsay, and then straight after that, we'll touch base with Garth Willis.
Obviously, last week we had a bit of a chat just around kind of when you got to certain things and had a lot of functions last week, but certainly this week looks like it went a lot better. Yeah, pretty much since our chat, everything went well. Got your run done Friday. How were the intervals on Saturday on the bike? Were those a bit of a challenge? How did you do those?
I actually have a question about that. I can't get my heart rate up. Like, it says 160, and like as much my legs given before the rest of me does. So I don't know, like, you know, for 5 minutes I can get it up to like 155 odd. You'll see there, I think 158 was my max, but then I can't get it any further.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not totally abnormal. And that is probably a function of not having the muscle mass at the moment, muscle strength, to be able to push yourself hard enough to get up to those numbers. And that'll come with time. So I think for now, the focus is to, the idea with the intervals is that you can ride as hard as you can for 5 minutes, knowing that when you have that recovery, that you're going to get enough recovery that you will be able to repeat pretty close to what you did the first time. And then by the time you get to the end of the intervals, you'll probably feel a little bit like, yo, I don't know if I can do another one of those. And if you kind of, if that's the feeling you're getting, then you're getting close to where we want to be. And if I look through your average heart rates for those 145, 141, 145, 145, you were pretty consistent in that department. So I'm quite happy that you got pretty close to that an objective. So that's not too bad. Okay.
Yeah. No, so I hammer it, but I just can't, like, as much as I push. And then I put the resistance up, I put the incline up, everything to try you know, push, because like going up a hill, my heart rate goes through the roof.
Yes.
So I tried to mimic that, but I still couldn't get it.
So that may actually then also be linked to doing it on the trainer, that actually on the trainer you aren't quite able to push the big enough gear on the trainer. So that could be actually a combination of the two.
Well, it's a great pleasure to welcome our next guest onto the podcast, Garth Willis. Garth, welcome on to Run with Coach Parry.
Morning. Thanks very much. It's great to be able to join you.
Garth, we've got the coach with us as well. I'm going to hand you over to Lindsay in just a short while. But before we do that, let's find out a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about your running background. Has running always been a big part of what you do and your life?
It's been a big part of my life for a long time. When I was at school, I enjoyed sport. I always thought of running as something that you had to do in order to be fit to play sport, and sport had to involve a ball. Then going into varsity, I suppose got more involved on the social side, and ended up getting into a bet with a friend in about 1996. He said that there's no way I'd ever be able to run Comrades, and so 6 months later I did. And since then, running's been a part of my life. I found, especially with having children and work demands, running as a sporting option fits in well. I can do it at 5 a.m. I can't play soccer or cricket at 5 a.m. So it's become an important part of keeping me sane.
I love how, I think for many South Africans, a bet and a few beers and Comrades is how they start running. It's just like, or taking it seriously. That's always, it's so funny how many people probably nodding, listening to this, that's their exact story. Tell me about the juggle. And that's one thing that people struggle with, is having a career, having a family, and still getting time to train. Because you're not a plodder, back of packer like me. You take this thing pretty seriously and you've got some big goals.
I find I really enjoy the escape. So it's the running group that gets me out in the morning. When I run by myself, I often turn over and hit the snooze button. But committing in a WhatsApp the night before and knowing that there might be guys or girls waiting in the car park for me to pitch gets me up in the morning, and that's the hardest part of the run. Once you're out, it's a great time of the day, and it's good having a bit of banter and a bit of an escape from whatever other stresses there are in life. So the 5 a.m. run with the group in the morning has become part of life. And then obviously that fires up a bit of the competitive juices as well. A couple of chirps and a few silly Strava segments becomes part of it. And before you know it, it's addictive.
I love it. Garth, tell me about some of the goals. What are you chasing? What's the short-term and long-term sort of hopes for your running?
So I've always really enjoyed the shorter races. I like the ability to go out, have a bit of a gamble in the first half and hope to hang on and surprise myself with the time. I think because of that, I've battled with the longer stuff, especially with Comrades. I've run 3 Comrades. 2 of them I had nightmare second halves, which were my fault for getting the pacing wrong. So the goals really over the next 9 months is to try and bring myself to convert a more aerobic approach to training into my running for the longer races. It's tempted me out of a 14-year hiatus from Comrades, and I want to do the next one, and I'd like to do the next 7. More immediate goals are, I'd like to break 40 for 10Ks. I've run 40.01, so I'd like to shave 2 seconds off. I'd like to run a good Comrades, and then I'd like to run a good marathon in Feb, and then have a Comrades that I actually enjoy. So be less focused on a time, and more focused on having a good run, running fairly even splits, and hopefully enjoying the day out so that I actually do the next 7 or more.
I love it. Well, Lindsay, I'm going to hand Garth over to you. You've obviously sent a questionnaire through to get some background, and I know you've got a couple of questions, and I know Garth brought a couple of questions for you. So it's over to you, Coach.
Yeah, so I've also had the fortune of, or maybe his friends would say misfortune, of having done a long run with Garth. So I do have a little bit of insight into kind of what he's been doing. and you've covered most of what was in the questionnaire. But part of the reason we've got Garth on here is because he's got some very specific questions around how to get the best out of his running using a power meter or training for running with power. So I think that's really where we will focus on. I think he is on a structured plan, has asked a lot of questions already around how he should be doing certain types of workouts and pacing. And it comes through from his description there that really one of the things that he's trying to figure out is how to get the best out of pacing and to learn that. And then I think the next part of that process is then getting the balance of the training right, which is, for me, getting the balance right is literally all in the pacing. So I'm going to focus the talk then on the questions that Garth has asked, and he did send those through earlier. And most of them I have got some good answers for, and some of them I don't have complete answers for. But, you know, at least it starts a discussion, and I'm also kind of learning about power as I go, and it is a relatively new parameter anyway in running. Right. So that's an intro to what we're going to be discussing. I'm going to run through the questions, Garth, and then obviously if any other question pops up as I'm speaking, or you don't quite understand what I am or how I'm explaining something, then just stop me, because this will be a little bit more one-sided, I guess, than some of the other calls that we've done. But, you know, that's just because you know what you want out of this, and let's give let's try and cover that in as much detail as we can in the time that we've got. So the first question is actually one of the more important questions, and that is setting up your zones and how to set them up. And you have done the 3 9-minute test that they recommend on Stride, and I have used that too to set up my initial zones, and then subsequent to that have actually used more sustained effort, so 10K and 15K races to get and then I extrapolate basically what is my threshold, which is what we're trying to figure out. There's plenty of evidence to suggest, not specifically to running, but that the shorter sort of FTP type of workouts tend to over-predict that threshold slightly. That doesn't concern me too much, because later on down the post, you talk about the range being quite wide, and that really is the point, is that our physiology ranges are, and they aren't black and white lines which kind of go, okay, well, now we're aerobic and now we're completely anaerobic. It seems to be quite a fairly broad transitional area. So I still feel that any test done needs to be done properly. And a test like a 3 9-minute does take a little bit of learning. And so in answer to your question, you feel like you gave it your best in the 3 minutes, but that your 9 minutes was possibly a little bit conservative. On one hand, it may give you a slightly closer answer to your true threshold. But on the other hand, I feel like let's do a test and do it properly. Use it to set up your initial zones. And then when you do a hard 5K, 8K, 10K, we can then sort of tweak those zones slightly and bring them into a range. And down the line, that will be the better way of tracking and changing and adjusting power. So I'm fairly happy with the power zones that are recommended by Stride on the Stride Power Center. And I'm also quite happy with the zones that are recommended on Training Peaks. But to give you an idea so that you can sort of quantify in your mind, what does that all mean? I like to do the sort of recovery and endurance work at around about 80%, or just under 80% of your calculated threshold power. I like to do a little bit of work at or just under threshold work, and those will be, you know, your let's call them your fast finishes, your tempo runs, that type of run. I like to do a little bit of work in there. And then we work at about 105% for sort of 1 mile type of repeats. We probably work at about 107 to 110% at for 1,800 to 1,000 meter repeats. We work at about 115%, sometimes 120% for 400 meter repeats. So that kind of give you for two minute hill repeats, it's about the same as 1K repeats. When we're working with power, obviously pace is very different. And when we're doing power hills, so 1 minute hills or focusing on power, then it's probably quite similar or just a bit higher than 400. So hopefully that gives you enough info to start really playing around with that power meter and being in the right zones. Your second question is probably the most important question that you ask. Okay, so you're buying into this concept of equal effort, but is equal effort the same as equal work? And in terms of energy expenditure, the answer should be yes. Okay, but in reality, there's a few practical points that you do make in here, and that is that you have to run the uphills too slowly and too fast on the downhills. Right. So I feel that is exactly the point of power, is that it does slow you down on the downhills and it actually forces you to run where you're supposed to run. Now, on the easy runs, that is an extremely useful tool, because a hill, and this is something that most people cannot conceptualize, is that a hill can be very easy if you run it slowly enough. So when you're doing your easy runs, then I would say you need to focus on keeping that hill reasonably close. So I would say I'd probably be comfortable with it sliding up about 10, 15 watts, somewhere around there.
Okay.
And on the downs, you're absolutely right that you would have probably too much of an eccentric load if you were to be exactly in the power zone. So the exact same would apply. You're probably about 10 watts lower than what you would be on the flat. And then that sort of band really pulls you into ensuring that the whole run is in fact easy. And then when we're running in races, I think that's possibly for me, and obviously we've discussed a little bit on the forum about this, but possibly for me, the major difference between last year November when I ran New York and this year September when I ran Cape Town, the real difference was that I absolutely bought into the average power on the hills, and that meant that although on the day, Cape Town day, I didn't feel amazing at the start, I really had one of my best marathons that I've had in years, because I really just felt so good when I was supposed to feel good, because I really did behave and listen to the power when I went uphill. And at New York, I did precisely what you're talking about here, is that in a race, it's very hard for you to hold yourself back in the race. And in New York, I absolutely unraveled spectacularly in the last 5Ks. And it's just, I could feel it happening, to be honest, because every hill was hard. So I totally buy into that equal effort, and I feel like that is the most critical aspect of the power meter. And I've said this to you before, and I know that you've read some reviews, that you do need to adjust that thinking when you are running into wind. And again, if I use Cape Town, I found that the wind impacted my power by about 15 watts. So the same effort in the wind was measuring 285 watts, and when I was out of the wind, that was just over 300 watts. So you do have to take that into account, and experience will teach you how to just to tweak that number when it's very windy. Then number three,
Sorry, if I can just jump in there. What I'm battling to get my head around is the range and paces. So
yes,
I can fully buy into keeping the power consistent on a fairly level route. It's been a big help on easy runs. But I paid specific attention this morning. It was a recovery run for me that's targeting 260 watts, or about my MAF heart rate of 135. And on the flats, that meant I was averaging 510, 515. On the downhills, about 420, 425. And on the uphills, it was 7 minutes a K. And when I was doing the uphill, I thought, you know, let me stick to it. I understand this is a recovery. I know what I'm trying to get out of the session. It felt incredibly slow. The interesting thing for me was that over the course of the run, I actually averaged 515. I averaged my flat pace, which I felt like I'd run a lot slower than that. So it kind of reinforced the concept of even power in achieving the kind of targeted average time. But in a race, that range, if instead of targeting 515, I was targeting, let's say, for a 21, 415.
Yes.
That would mean that if the pace bands move on a linear basis, I would then, instead of 7 minutes a K up the hill, I'd be running 6 minutes a K up the hill, which would feel a bit slow. But yeah, equally on the downhill, I'd have to run 325, which would feel a bit fast. And so I'm battling to get my heart behind the science that on a hilly route, that I actually should be targeting that wider range of paces on, you know, across the uphills and the downhills. Are you saying I should ignore that and I must trust the science?
Yes, and look, I am a little bit surprised in your case that the difference is quite that large, because if I look again, most of my experience is on myself, and then one, I do have a couple of people that I coach specifically on power, but I would be on a run, I typically average quite close to what you are averaging. But the difference is that those same power on the flat, I'm running up the hills at, considerably faster than 7 minutes a K, probably more like 540, 545. So part of that could be, and it'll speak to what comes a little bit later in some of your questions, is part of that could be speaking to efficiency, particularly when you run uphill. And it could well be that in particular, when you run uphill, you are running especially inefficiently, but you know, time will tell and it should get better. But yeah, in a race, there's definitely a little bit of wiggle room, and that's where I was talking about maybe the 10 to 15 watts higher and 10 to 15 watts lower on the downs. But again, the shorter the race, I think you surprise yourself that you may well be able to get down to those 320s. But yes, I would in the initial stages really just trust it, because then you start to see it as you have done on your easy runs. When you've got to run 7 minutes up, okay, up, that feels like it's impossible. I'm not going to get anywhere near. But at the end of the run, it's confirmed on heart rate and everything else.
Perfect, thanks. I think part of today might have also been tired, dead legs. So maybe the range is wider than normal. So I'll keep an eye on that over time.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and then sorry, we've only got 7 minutes left. So let me get into the very complicated bits here for you. And, you know, what should you be tracking over time? So you definitely want to keep things like stride length, and your form power and your leg spring really tell you a lot about your efficiency. So those are things that should improve over time. And if they are not improving over time, that may point to a need to get into the gym and actually do some strength training, which is exactly in this very block of training that I'm doing. That's exactly where I am. So I've done a lot of, you know, speed work and hills and those sort of things also do help with that spring stiffness and form power. But I kind of feel like I've done really good training there's a lot of, when I compare to the norms, there's a lot of room for improvement there for me. So I'm in the gym working quite hard now. Honestly, I haven't gone and had a look yet at the numbers, but I can feel the difference when I'm running. So I'm pretty certain that when I sit down and have a chat with Neil, who oversees he's my coach, I think we'll see some improvement there. So these things will improve and you can track them. There's an app, I think it's called Cheetah, that can help you to come, it helps you to track heart rate versus speed versus power. So that is probably a great app for you to go and have a look and search for, so that you can graph all those things in one place and track them over time. And hopefully as we work with our developer, we'll pull that sort of stuff into our app and you will be able to have graphs to compare all three or any parameters together. So yeah, we've got a couple of minutes left. So I don't know if you've got another question that I can maybe get for you. I know that's quite a lot of information to process in a short period of time.
Thanks very much, Lindsay. I do have another question, and it's around running the tough one. I don't want to race it, so I haven't been doing specific training for it, but I want to use it as a first test of my ability to actually behave in the first time to behave in a race and the first half of the race. Done tough one before, got to halfway thinking that I'm ahead of track and it's the low point altitude-wise in the run and yes. Ended up playing in the second half. So this time I want to use it as a bit of a dress rehearsal for a longer run, running more consistently. I just wanted to get your thoughts on whether throwing that in the middle of my 10K training program is smart and what I could do to get the most out of that as a training run, how I should be approaching it.
So if you treated it as a purely long run, it's going to give you like endurance that you cannot believe in a 10K run. Okay, so I did answer that on the forum before, is that even the fast programs are a little bit conservative because I don't have contraction with people, but in this sort of specific case, absolutely I would encourage doing a 32K run, but you need to set it in your kind of long run zone two. So, and you'll probably, because it's a race, you'll end up probably near the top of zone two. That's okay, but you've just got to make sure that you don't creep in, like really be disciplined and don't go into zone three. And then it's going to give you an absolute brilliant little test case for how you feel the next day and how your overall pacing is in the race. kind of just as an as a interest point for you, if you were setting out to race the race, and this will still give you this sense if you do the thing easy and stick to your zones, is that what I've figured now specifically from Cape Town is that if you stick to your power in the first quarter, you will warm up really nicely and then start to feel good. If you stick to your power in the second quarter, you'll feel like at halfway that you really should be going and want to go, but don't. If you stick to your power for that third quarter, then in the fourth quarter, you can literally ignore your power and really go for it. Now, you obviously won't do that at RAC, but I think you'll get the sense of what I'm talking about, because you'll suddenly get to, where you just turn off main road and think to yourself, well, hell, you know, wish I could feel like this every time I ran a race. But the principle will be, if you race it, you'd be slightly more tired and whatever, but you will still feel that strength if you use the pacing mechanism like that.
Lindsay, I was going to treat it as a progression run. So I was going to run three quarters easy and then open up for the last quarter. You're saying I shouldn't do that and I should rather just treat it as a long run. I mean, is there value in progression long runs?
Where is this in relation to your plan 10K?
Well, I don't actually have a plan 10K. I wanted to do speed work and I'm going to start a marathon training program in mid-December. So what I'm going to do instead of a 10K race is I'm going to run an 8K time trial probably second week of December.
So that would be 3 weeks after.
Yes.
3 weeks after this, yeah. So then I wouldn't do that. Yeah. If it was 4 weeks, you possibly got away with it. And as you were talking there, I was thinking, okay, if you're not actually going to race the 10 and then go into marathon program, then yes, there's loads of benefits in progression runs for marathon training. But no, at 3 weeks out, pure long run. And then in that 8K, you really will feel, you probably feel like you ran out of road. Your aerobic system will be right where it needs to be. That speed will hopefully be your limiting factor.
Yeah, Garth, thank you for your time. I've thoroughly enjoyed it listening to the two of you guys talking about it, because I'm nowhere close to the level that you two run, and I need to get myself a power meter, man. I need all the help I can get. It sounds amazing. Garth, thanks for your time, mate. Really appreciate it. Let us know how it goes. I'm keen to see how you progress at the tough one, and if you do manage to behave, because I think if you do, you're going to have an amazing run.
Excellent. Thanks very much. And congratulations to you guys on the platform. I'm really enjoying it.
No worries. Thank you for supporting us. And just finally on that, you're one of our lifetime members. Tell me a little bit about why you joined. What are you loving about it?
I'm really enjoying the structured program. It stops me from experimenting and tinkering with my own theories. I'm enjoying the ability to get guidance from coaches. And I enjoy the forum discussions and the podcasts to hear from other runners and learn from their experiences. So overall, I found that's all helping a lot.
Brilliant. Garth, well, we appreciate you, and we'll catch up in the forums. If you've got any other questions, you know exactly where to go, and we'll chat there.
Good stuff. Thanks very much.
And that's it for this edition of Run with Coach Parry. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget as well, if you'd like to check out the Coach Parry online training platform and community, just head over to coachparry.com/join. All the details are there. You can get access to every single one of our training programs, as well as a group of fantastic coaches. You'll get onto a structured training program and everything literally in your pocket with our Android and iOS app as well. So definitely check that out. And our winner in our Biogen Journey competition this week is someone who used that hashtag Biogen Journey on Twitter. and it is Gary Late. I hope I pronounced that right. His Twitter handle is at Kazi underscore GA, saying, "Bye, Janessa. I keep in shape by doing the Umdoni Park Run most weekends. How's this? His PB has gone from 55.04 to 26.40 this year. That is amazing, Gary. I love it. I know he's lost a lot of weight as well. His next targets for a park run, sub 25. Well, Gary, we're going to give you 3 months access to the coach as well as our online training platform. Let's help you get that sub 25 park run. We'll be in touch with you. Don't forget as well, if you'd like to win, make sure you use that hashtag across the socials, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Doesn't really matter. We'll find it. Hashtag BuyGinJourney. Let us know what you're up to, what you need help with, and who knows, you could be a winner next week. Until then, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.